Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for hanging with us. Great conversation already today with you on what defines or what makes a good professional sports owner and who's the best in Cleveland. 330-450-1480. We're taking your phone calls on that, but right now we want to go to the Wake 'em Way hotline and bring in the editor-in-chief at The Athletic Cleveland, good friend for many, many years. We've covered many sporting events together, and he's become a big shot, man. He's editor-in-chief.
Should I stand up and salute?
Both of us right now. Right, stand up, JT. We're standing,
salute.
And welcome to the show once again, Jason Lloyd. How are you, Lloyd?
Knock it off. What's going on, man?
Oh, dude. I'm happy for you. I remember when you started up with The Athletic. It's grown. It's taken off. Continued success, and for anybody out there that hasn't signed up or read any of the articles, you're missing out on some great stuff with many, many writers. So first of all, Jason, congratulations on that. How many years now at The Athletic?
Actually, boy, I'm funny you said that. Coming up on 4 next week.
Okay, I knew it was somewhere, it was during basketball season. I remember
it
that
was.
When
yeah,
it launched
it
and everything.
And you know, we launched in the middle of basketball. I left the Athens Beacon Journal in the middle of basketball season. That was not great timing for anyone. But, it's worked out. It's great. March 1st, 2017, we launched.
There you go. So check it out, people, please. And they've got specials all the time, and the content is outstanding. And that's why I wanted to get Jason on, because I read his article yesterday. And I'll give you the title to it. Dan Gilbert, Paul Dolan, Jimmy Haslam, Where Cleveland's Owners Stand from Power to Punchline. And I read it, Jason, and JT and I are talking about it with our listeners in that today. In your opinion, okay, what defines or makes a good owner? And so where do these guys fall into whatever your definition is of that?
That is such a hard question because there's so many components to it. And I think all three owners in Cleveland have one of the necessary traits to be a good owner, but they also have, like, fatal flaws that just bring them down. For my money, the Dolans run the best organization in town, and it's not even close. I've said that for years. The culture that they set, the fact that people go there and never leave, the fact that Mike Chernoff would turn down the chance to be the GM of his hometown team because of the setup that he has in Cleveland, counts for more than I think people realize sometimes. The way that they hire really smart people, really good people, and they stay out of the way and they empower them to do their job. That is critical, critical to culture and stability, which if you're going to win at a high level, you have to have that. And they nail that. But they have no money.
Right.
And that's where Dan comes in. Dan can spend with anybody. Like, give him, Dan Gilbert wrote checks for more than $600 million the 4 years LeBron was here. It's unbelievable how much money the Cavs spent in those 4 years. He lost $50 million the year they won the championship. Lost. That's what it cost him out of his own pocket. And I'm hard on him for a lot of things, but I will always give him full credit because you have to spend. I remember talking to Griff about it when Griff was in Cleveland. Griff's like, there are some owners in this league I will not go work for because I know they're not going to spend. When it's time to spend, you have to spend in the NBA. And there's a number of owners that won't do it. They have the means. They just won't do it. But everything else, Dan gets wrong. The culture of the Cavs is awful. And the instability and the constant turnover. And he never took the GM position seriously. He never had a lot of respect for that role. And now with the condition that he's in, physically with the stroke and recovering from it, he was kind of the jet fuel that made the organization go, and now that's missing. So that's a big deal. And so, the fact that they've never been able to put anything together when they didn't have LeBron. LeBron was here when he came. He bought the team right when LeBron was here. And the fact that they've never been able to build anything sustainable without the best player in the world is alarming. And then when you look at Jimmy, you know, I think we're still trying to get our arms around what's real and what's not with him. You know, obviously he meddled. I think that's pretty clear. And a lot of the culture, you know, when some of those stories, the SI stories that we all read on the Browns and some of the crap that was going on in the building and all that, I had so many people affiliated with the Cavs texting me saying, does that sound familiar? Does this sound familiar? It's the same thing. It's the Browns and Cavs have a very similar culture. But to Jimmy's credit, I think he is trying. I think he is trying to learn from his mistakes, and I think he is trying to stay out of the way. I think he wants to stay out of the way. I think he wanted to do it with John Dorsey, and then John kind of burned him with the Freddie hire. So, you know, I think they've got it right now. Now, you know, like I wrote, let's see next year. You know, hopefully life goes back to normal a little bit next year. The pandemic made it so that nobody could interfere. Nobody was in the building. So let's see if everyone can still behave themselves when life returns to normal. But, you know, I think it's fair to at least be hopeful that Jimmy learned his lesson.
You know, I have to agree with you, Jason. When you think about the Indians organization, at least the business plan is there. We know that the Dolans, whichever ones you want to, you know, you want to put in Larry, you want to put in Paul, whichever one is, obviously it's Paul in charge. But the business plan is perfect because Antonetti runs it, Chernoff runs it. And we know we're not spending a lot of money, and we're going to try to be as competitive as we can. But if we try to take the fan out of the owner, or either of the other two owners, I guess even remotely close to a Mark Cuban or a Jerry Jones, when it comes to owning a team, having a business plan around them, because I look at maybe Dan Gilbert and say, okay, he's worth over $40 billion. Rocket Mortgage is over $40 billion itself. Does he really care about the Cavaliers any longer? Or did he win his title and he's going to ride off into the sunset? Because what I look at now is not a very good business plan.
Well, I think Dan's health changed everything in terms of what you're talking about. I think he was committed to proving he could build a winner without LeBron. I wholeheartedly believe that he felt like, you know, now is his chance. They never wanted a tank. Like, that was never the plan, was to tank. They re-signed Kevin. It's like he tried to follow the Heat because LeBron leaves. What does Miami do? They re-signed Chris Bosh. LeBron leaves Cleveland. What does Dan do? He signs Kevin Love to an extension. It's like he was trying to follow the Miami model. They trade for Andre Drummond. They're doing, and they would tell everyone, we're so much better positioned now than we were the first time LeBron left. We have all these young 20-somethings. We have Rodney Hood and Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance Jr. And Larry's been great. Like, Larry's really developed into a great player. But then they trade those other guys for second-round picks. So Dan, I think, absolutely wanted to win, and he wanted to prove he was very much committed and all in on the Cavs. His health is what got in the way of that, and that's why he's pulled back on everything. He sold the casinos in Cleveland. He took Quicken public, renamed it Rocket, took it public. He told people for years he would never do that. Remember, he warred with the SEC, like went to sue them. Like, he never wanted anything to do with a public company like that. And the fact that he's made some of these changes, I think it all goes back to his health. And I think that you're going to continue to see that. I don't think Dan Gilbert, the owner that we've known Dan Gilbert to be the first 15 years that he's owned this team or whatever that number is, I don't think it'll ever be that way again. I don't think he'll ever be that commanding, dominating presence and figure over this organization because of his health.
Thrilled to have the editor-in-chief of The Athletic Cleveland, Jason Lloyd, joining us here on the Kenny and JT Show via the Wake'em Way hotline. Jason, I want to go back to the Indians, and I've said this before. Everybody I've talked to that's ever worked for the Indians or still does love working for them because they take care of their front office people, right? And that's great for the stability inside the organization that runs it. But the fans are on the outside looking at only the players. The fans really don't care, you know, who runs it, just win ball games and win championships. And they have yet to do so. And you have the Padres owner coming out saying, Peter Sidler saying, nothing we can't do. 340 to Fernando Tatis, 300 to Manny Machado, $144 million to Eric Hosmer, and it's supposed to be a small market team. And then you have Indians owner Paul Dolan saying, enjoy them. We'll see what happens after that. I mean, fans hear this, and the moniker I gave was Dolan's discounts with the players because they don't have the deep pockets. And my question to you is this. Do they need another minority owner to help them with the salaries of the players to keep them competitive? Or can this model, and it hasn't yet, can it work at the Major League Baseball level of winning a championship?
Yes and yes. Yes, they need a minority owner, but yes, this can work. And I mean, go back to 2016, Game 7 of the World Series. If they win that game, if the Indians win that game and win the World Series, do we view the Dolans differently today? I think we do.
Yes.
I think that we look at them differently. And in that, I'm going to get to what I don't like in a minute, but in that instance, they did everything they could. Like, they couldn't control the pitching, they couldn't control the hitting, they couldn't control the weather, but they put the team in position to win a championship. That's all you can ask them to do. Now, where I disagree with them is they pulled back and basically ruined the last 2 years of Francisco Lindor by the way that they cut the payroll, and especially last year. The way, yeah. Like, they basically closed their own window, and that's where you need the minority owner. And that's why I kind of laid out in the article, as soon as John Sherman pulled out his money and left, that's yep. when the payroll started going back down. It's really hard, though, to find a minority owner because, number one, the majority owner has to agree to it, has to get along with them, has to want them. And number two, there's not really a lot of benefit that comes from being a minority owner. Like, it's an ego stroke to say that you're a minority owner, but you're not consulted on any major decisions. Like, you're not included in anything. They just take your money. And if it's not as profitable as you want it to be, what's the incentive to invest? The incentive for John Sherman was, and he said this since then, they had a plan in place where he was going to take over full control. Now, what was the timeline on that? No one really knows. And I think that's the only way the Dolans are going to find another minority owner, is they're going to find someone who wants eventually to take full control of the team. The baseball is going to swallow up the Dolans at some point. Mm-hmm. Like you, and I wrote this a few weeks ago after the Lindor trade. They're basically a mom and pop shop trying to run against Amazon and Walmart and Best Buy. Like,
absolutely.
This is not a tech mogul. This is not, you know, these are attorneys who had some stock in Cablevision, but they don't have the same pockets that, like, everyone hears Dolan and they think that, you know, it's the New York Dolan money, and it's not. It's not the same. And they don't have the same money that the New York Dolans do. And it's basically, it's a coffee shop running up against Starbucks, and eventually baseball is going to swallow them up. And it's only a matter of time. They are going to have to sell. And I know there's a lot of people concerned about the fact that the lease is coming up and they've stripped payroll mm-hmm. to the studs, and there's a name change looming. There's all of these factors that would make you think that there's a possibility that the team will move. I personally don't think they're going anywhere. I truly don't. We've kind of dug in on it a little bit. We're going to have some articles here coming out in the future about what we found. I don't think the Indians are going anywhere, but I completely understand why the fans would be scared.
Boy, that's amazing when you say that, because the first thing that pops into my mind is when the Indians lost their minority owner, and it seems as though the Dolans either aren't willing to or don't have the money to spend, and Antonetti came out and said they're losing $10 million a year, and again, I go back to this being a bad business plan. The first thing that pops into my mind, Jason Lloyd, is Bisciotti buys the team from Modell in Baltimore. Yeah. Is this basically the same scenario here?
Until teams open their books, it's hard to know what's fact and what's fiction. And everybody knows you can make the numbers say anything you want them to say. Art was just a horrible businessman. He was just an incompetent, horrible owner. And for him, and basically, you know, it's funny because we wrote a story on that in November on the 25th anniversary of, mm-hmm. of the Browns leaving Cleveland. And one of the things in talking to John Moog, who was basically the mastermind in Baltimore who took the team away, and he said Art just missed the window by a couple of years because basically the NFL set itself up, and Carmen Policy said this too, to where it's impossible to lose money. You just can't. Like, NFL right. owners bathe in cash mm-hmm. when you own right. an NFL team. And because there's no salary cap, and for a couple other reasons, I don't think the Dolans lose as much as they claim, but I don't think that it's profitable either, as maybe, you know, an NFL team would be. So is it the same as Modell? Yes and no. Modell's problem is the stadium. You know, when the Indians left as a tenant, that was a big blow to his pocket to lose them as a tenant because he was running the Stadium Corp lease, and the stadium was falling apart. He lost a bunch of suite holders and businesses. They pulled out of the old stadium and went to Jacobs Field because it was the shiny new toy in town. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of difference there. But the bottom line is, yeah, you know, I think the Dolans financially just aren't able to compete with a lot of teams in Major League Baseball.
But, Jason, they now are worth four times what they paid for the team. And when they bought the team at $323 million, okay, that was the most anybody paid for a baseball team. So, wow, okay, that's big bucks. But it's four times the value. So when they tell me they're losing money, okay, for that calendar year, yes, but when you do sell, you're going to make up that money you lost because of the value of the baseball team. And that's what irritates me. And, and when I hear them say, well, we're a small market and we can't compete. Well, think of down the road, the bigger picture when you do sell. Why aren't you willing to invest that money when you know you're going to get it back in the end?
Well, I guess I would go a step further and say if you're not making any money, if you're losing all this money, then just sell. Why own the team? What's the reason for owning the team? And it's sort of like a house. You can have a house that's worth $1 million, but if you can't afford the taxes on it, you can't afford the upkeep on it, why are you in the house? Sell the house and take the money and run. And I do think, and, you know, in that sit-down, you know, you mentioned Paul Dolan saying enjoy him. That was our sit-down with Zach Meisel where he said that.
Right.
And it was funny when you talk about the Padres, he also said that was not sustainable. And he thought that the Padres are going to run into problems with Machado, and then here they turn around and sign Tatis. Although I will say, I don't think Tatis or Machado see the end of that deal in San Diego. But that's a different conversation. But, you know, also in that sit-down, he did allude to the fact that his parents are getting older. And he said there are no plans not to own the team, but, you know, I Larry Dolan, I think, is in his 90s now. I think he's 90 or 91. I think it's fair to say the Dolans very well could sell this team within the next, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 years. I don't know. I don't want to put a number on it because I'm just strictly guessing. Like, I'm just throwing a number out. But I think within probably the next 5 to 7 years, there could be a new owner in town.
Yeah, and you hate to bring this part of it up. You know, could the Dolans be holding on till, you know, Larry passes away? That's what happened with Al Lerner, right? And that's when Randy sold the team, right? And so maybe it's a wish. I don't know, and I hate to even bring that up, but that's you know, you throw that into the conversation because at some point they're going to sell, you would think, right? Because if they are losing money, like you said, they can't keep doing it year after year, even though the end value is four times what they paid for it.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I'll go back to what I said. If you own a $1 million house, but you can't afford the taxes, you can't afford to put a new roof on it, then you can't afford the house. And eventually you're going to have to get rid of the house, or the house is going to get taken from you. And I just think, you know, it's a little bit like what we saw with the Mets with the Wilpon family. And I wrote that, a month or so ago, just about the struggle that the Wilpons had in finding a minority owner. And that's really what it comes down to. They really struggled to find that because there was nobody that trusted their ownership style. And they really just couldn't find anyone until finally the sports sort of swallowed them up. And the Dolans, I don't know that it's necessarily nobody would trust their ownership style, but there's just a lot of factors that go into why it's so difficult to find a minority owner in sports and why they haven't been able to do it. And I think eventually baseball is just going to swallow them up.
Is there such a thing as a small market with 30 teams in the country? Well, I shouldn't say in the country. In Major League Baseball, is there such a thing as a small market, or is it just small-minded individuals who own these teams?
Well, the Indians don't have a great TV deal. That's been said and written multiple times over. But really, what's holding the Rays back and holding the A's back, it's not the size of the market. St. Pete is one of the biggest markets around. Tampa St. Pete market is enormous. It's the stadiums that these teams are stuck in, that Oakland is stuck in, that Tampa is stuck in. That's not the problem in Cleveland. Now, what the argument, I don't know if you would say Cleveland's a small market town. You know, I don't know if that's the right argument. I think to me the argument is, can Cleveland sustain three teams? Can Cleveland support three teams? And when we were doing the deep dive on the Browns leaving, I asked a couple of councilmen that, you know, people who were involved in the Browns leaving, and you know, they said, absolutely, Cleveland's a three-sport town. I'm not so sure. It will always be the Browns. The Browns always take up all the oxygen, but I think there's enough air left probably for one other team, but I'm not sure Cleveland can support three teams. I'm just being honest. You know, when the Indians were roaring in the 90s, the Browns weren't around.
Yep.
And now, you know, now you look at what the attendance is at Indians games, and you see how upset fans are. And the fact that LeBron created a generation of Cavs fans and basketball fans in general that previously didn't exist. You know, LeBron made the Cavs. He put the Cavs on the map. And really sold that place out and really brought basketball back to life. And that's not to take anything away from the Richfield years, because they had some terrific years at Richfield. But I'm just saying, he created basketball fans that probably wouldn't be NBA fans otherwise. So I'm just not sure. I don't know. I am hopeful that I feel like millennials are staying. They're coming back to Cleveland. They're staying in Cleveland. I feel like we could see a surge here in population, and I could be just making this up. It's just the sense that I get from being downtown a lot, normal times. I see more young people. My generation, I'm 44. My generation left. Like, you know, they graduated high school or graduated college and went to Arizona and Denver and Florida and New York and Boston and never stayed. And it feels like the younger generation is now sticking around. What does that mean for the future of the city? I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see. But I think it is fair to question whether or not Cleveland can sustain three teams.
Jason Lloyd, our guest, the editor-in-chief at The Athletic Cleveland. Follow him on Twitter at @byjasonlloyd for all the latest articles from him and his teammates there at The Athletic. By the way, off the subject, then we'll wrap it up with going back to where we started this conversation. How's my buddy doing out there in Los Angeles? You talked to LeBron lately? How's my buddy doing out there?
I talked to him briefly on a Zoom when the Cavs played the Lakers. Very, very briefly. I had the opportunity to go with him, and I said, I'm good where I'm at. I'm staying in Cleveland. I had 4 years with him. It was a wonderful 4 years. I was exhausted. I was done. It was time to go home and enjoy my family again.
Good for you, my friend. Glad to hear that. Well, next time you talk to him, tell him I said hi. I haven't seen him in a while.
I will.
let him know I'm thinking about him. Okay, Jason?
Yeah.
Getting back to where we started on this. So, who's the best owner in town? Gilbert won the championship. The winning percentage, according to your article, I think it was, the Dolans have the best winning percentage of the teams. But Haslam, most recently, hey, they're in the playoffs and look like maybe they're a Super Bowl contender. So who's the best ownership group and owner in town right now, Jason Lloyd?
Oh, man.
Right?
That is so hard. I mean, it's I can't believe it's going to. No, I was going to say, Jimmy, I'm going to stick with the Dolans. I'm going to stick with the Dolans only because of this. First of all, this year, I think they're going to be better this year than people think. It does just annoy me. It drives me crazy that they sort of self-sabotage their own window by not financially supplementing a team that legitimately could have won a World Series 16, 17, 18. That team was talented enough. 16 and 17, certainly. The 17 team was unbelievably talented, probably the best of that run. And they just sort of let it die. And that's infuriating. But in terms of winning percentage, in terms of being in it every year, in terms of going to the postseason, in terms of always giving yourself a chance, they're right there. And the spending drives me nuts. But I'm still going to call it the Dolans.
You know, though, it's 73 years since they won a title, the longest drought, not just in Cleveland, Jason, in all of professional sports. And
they're the longest owning team of anyone to own the Indians. They've had the longest tenure of anyone.
Right, exactly, and they have not delivered. And if you remember when Larry Dolan bought the team, he said, I don't want to win just one. I was there. I remember it like it was yesterday, right?
Yep.
I want to string a bunch together, he said that. Now I remember saying that. Just get one, and you'll be applauded.
But they don't lie to you. They don't spend foolishly. You know exactly what road they're going to take. They're telling you exactly who's going to be on the field. And it's unlike Haslam and Dan Gilbert. And I'm still trying to figure out why they signed Andre Drummond. Just makes no sense to me.
Well, they didn't sign him. They trade for him, and then he picked up his own option.
Still, I mean, they traded for him, but they wanted to take on that salary for not one but two seasons. It makes no sense. There's no business plan there.
I don't disagree with you. I can tell you why they took on this.
Tell me the Jared Allen thing. I'm not buying it.
No. I'm telling you why they took on Drummond. Oh. It's because they had all this cap space for this year. They didn't have anyone to spend it on. It was a move they could make to try and get something for him this year, and it blew up in their face. Like, the fact that nobody wanted him last year should have been a clue that no one's going to take him this year.
Right.
So I think they're stuck with him. I'd be surprised. You know, let's wait and see if there's another injury or two. I don't know. Maybe that changes the landscape. I think he's probably headed for a buyout at this point.
Yeah, I do too. Hey, Jason, let's do this again somewhere in the not-too-distant future. It's been a while. You're doing a great job there at The Athletic as well as on 92.3 The Fan. I hear you every once in a while when I'm in the car. Keep up the fantastic work. Great article. I urge people to go read it at The Athletic, and thanks for coming on with us.
Thanks, buddy. Anytime.
All right, there he is, Jason Lloyd. Again, follow him on Twitter at @byjasonlloyd.